on maynard.com.au. Hey, you!
Actually, there's no one here except Rebecca Watson. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Oh, look, the feisty Rebecca Watson. That's the word I like seeing put in front of your name. Would you agree with that?
I love the adjective feisty, and it beats most of the adjectives that people usually call me.
Let's talk about science, the science of hair dye. Now, how old were you when you first dyed your hair a fruity, loud color? What year was that?
Honestly, 30.
Because we've been discussing how even in the early 90s, you couldn't get a good, real solid red to last longer than a day or two. But science has helped us have loud colours now for weeks on an end.
Yeah. Oh, months. No, it never even occurred to me to dye my hair a crazy colour. And then I just saw Manic Panic in the store one day and I thought, yeah, okay. So I did it to my own hair and it was terrible. I'm not good at it. And so I ended up going to a salon for like the first time in years because I'm cheap and I don't care how I look. And so I went to a salon and I'm like, I want my hair to be red, but whatever you do, I don't want it to look natural. I just don't want it to look like I'm trying to be something I'm not. I just want it to be ridiculous, you know.
So this would also be an experiment in perception equals reality. So you change your hair to a weird color, people then perceive that Rebecca, she's not like us anymore.
Right, yeah. Well, I do. The attention I get has changed, mostly from strangers, but I love it because the biggest difference has been in how children treat me. Children, particularly little girls, like from the age of, I'd say, 4 up to 12, love me immediately. There's a girl at this conference who walked up to me, sat down, and did not leave my side yesterday.
Oh, yes, I saw you with her. Is that because you're like a living doll with really loud hair, or because they see a bright color, or because they would really love to have the hair too?
I think all those things. I think one of them is that I kind of look like Ariel.
Okay, that's a good thing.
So I think there's that. Yeah, I think it's like a fun color and that, you know, they think, oh, a fun person. And kids love it. And so that makes me happy because I love kids. They're way more fun than adults.
And, of course, being an adult polarizer, the hair is a polarizer. By its very definition, it's a two-edged sword. How do you handle being a polarizer both in personality and perception equals reality? Oh, that Rebecca, she's even though they've never met you.
Yeah. It's funny. I mean, the thing is, I don't really like conflict a lot. It makes me nervous. And I like getting along with people. And, you know, if anybody who's met me in person knows that I like to hang out and have fun and get to know people and have interesting discussions. But, of course, a lot of times that can't happen online. You know, people like polarization, I think. And so, you know, in a way, I don't really mind it anymore because even though it still sort of stresses me out sometimes, for the most part, I would rather be polarizing than boring. I'd rather say something that people find interesting and that spurs people to a discussion than to say something that just has everybody nodding in agreement. Because if everybody already agrees with you, what's the point of saying it?
Here's a situation that happened in Australia, which I'd like your opinion on. We had a celebrity here, Charlotte Dawson, who had horrible things said about her on Twitter. Not on Facebook, just on Twitter. And she went through a very bad experience with that. And she found out the IP addresses of the people, took a camera crew to them and confronted them in the street and said some of the things to them that she had experienced from them to their face. Would that be the kind of thing you would applaud, or would you ever want to do that?
I don't know that I would personally do it, but I kind of love that because that must have been really awkward and terrible, and I love things like that.
Well, the thing that surprised me is that the people themselves didn't seem to mind being confronted by her. It was almost like you got to see the people that do this kind of thing. That was actually what was the embarrassment for them. The fact that they were getting abuse slammed at them, they kind of took, except there's one guy who worked in a fish and chip shop and he was behind the counter and she came up to him. That was pretty funny. It was almost like he was going to cry, and it was like, okay. But then you look at the kind of people they were, and you're going, I wonder why you said you wanted this woman to die. Why would you say something like that?
Well, what kind of abuse was she giving to them, though? Or was she just saying, like...
She was basically repeating to them what they'd said to her. It was mainly a whole bunch of expletives.
Right.
It was very personal, and some of it was based on the looks, and some of it was based on the fact that she was a famous woman, and they'd picked her as a target for that day.
Yeah. I find it really interesting, because I find the psychology of those people to be very interesting, and I I've spent a lot of time wondering, like, why do you spend literally all of your time, you know, there are people who have entire blogs that are just about me, and they catalog everything I do, and I'm like, what is your life like that's what you do with it?
Because you've been on the pointy end of it, so does that make it harder to analyze because you're on the pointy end of it? Would it be better to go, well, let's look at the what's an issue here? You can't do that.
Well, yeah, I'm certainly not an unbiased observer, but I do have a lot of data.
Have you got a theory? Have you got enough raw data to be able to work out what type of person does this and why? Is it a purely misogynistic thing? Is it because the cult of celebrity they don't like? Is it something you're saying that they're objecting to?
I think it depends on the person. I think there are several different categories of person that do this. I think some people might have legitimate medical issues. You know, there's that category. Like Mabus, if you're familiar with him.
The Canadian guy.
Yes, yeah. So Mabus is a person who was arrested and tried and put in a mental institution for a time, but then released, and then he went right back to doing what he was doing.
And again, the problem with him wasn't, well, okay, the threats were pretty nasty, but then there was the chance that maybe he was starting showing up at something, these events, and people, right. That's what concerned people.
Yeah, he never really bothered, like, I did get a ton of stuff from him, and sometimes it included specific things, like, to me, like Rebecca Dye or something like that. But personally, I was never very threatened by him. But he did turn up at an atheist conference once, and that's when I was like, okay, no, somebody should do something about this. So, you know, that's one category. So people who need medical intervention. But there are other people who are just, I think, just sad, just have sad lives, you know, and have a lot of hatred. And because I've spent a lot of time wondering, you know, sometimes when I see things that people do to me, I wonder, what sort of person would I do that too? You know, would I ever hate someone so much that I made a blog about them, for instance, and cataloged everything they were doing? I was thinking like Jenny McCarthy or Oprah or like Ben Stein, you know, and I couldn't actually think of anybody that I would be that obsessed over. And so I do wonder if there are some people who just don't have a whole lot going on in their life and that they sort of latch on to me as something, hobby.
With you, it's usually issue-based. It's what the person's doing or their philosophy, and you might touch on it a few times, but you don't make a whole blog to it yet.
Yeah, no, not yet. Maybe. Maybe one of these days.
I'll tell you what pisses me off, what makes me shake my fist at the screen, is when you're at work, you're in your cubicle or you're in your little dimly lit thing down the end of town, and someone puts on Facebook a photo of themselves on the beach drinking wine on a sunny day on holidays. Fuck, that annoys me.
Fuck
that
them.
Really
fuck
annoys
them.
Me.
Yeah, no, yeah. I agree. I agree.
At that moment, you could build an entire website devoted to that person, and you hate them because they're having a better time than you. Maybe that's right. That's a fractal of what they feel about
also,
you.
Also, I have a friend of mine. Which I don't know if you're familiar. Jay Novella is a co-host of the Skeptics Guide to the Universe.
And I've got to say, and look, what I found, there's a FetLife group called I Want Perv on Rebecca Watson. There is no FetLife group I Want a Perv on Jay Novella,
that's right.
Despite the fact demonstrably better looking than
I
you.
I know. You know, you can do something about that.
Yeah, and I was thinking of starting one, but the problem was that I was expecting it to be a whole bunch of guys on yours, and it was all women.
Right.
Maybe I'm the guy that needs to start the FetLife Jay Novella group.
I think you should. Someone told me about that group, and at first I said, you know, I don't know how to feel about this. but then a couple of my friends are on FetLife, and they went and checked it out, and they came back, and they're like, "No, it's cool. They're all cool." So I'm like, "Oh, all right."
It's okay to have a group of people perving on you as long as they're cool.
Yeah, perv away, pervs. Love you.
You
keep perving. Jay has a wife, Courtney, who is
I met her. Yeah,
she's one of the most wonderful, sweetest people on the planet. She's intelligent.
That in itself is really annoying.
Yes, this is what I'm. Okay, listen. She's super smart. She's very sweet. She's one of the kindest people I've ever met.
Let me guess, she's patient too?
She's patient. She's married to Jay Novella.
Oh, okay, yeah.
She's gorgeous. And right now, she is pregnant. She's got to be like 6-7 months pregnant now. Still gorgeous. Hate her. But I can't hate her because she's so nice. She's the best.
The day after the birth, she'll be doing modeling for Vogue.
She's going to immediately lose all the weight. So I'm going to start a blog about Courtney, in which I try to find a flaw somewhere.
And what has everyone been chatting to you here in Melbourne about? I've seen lots of people coming up to you because there's been a little girl pulling your hair, which is a good thing because it's a great colour to be yanked on. And what's everyone been talking about? Has there been a topic?
Oh, man, everybody has been so great. And the topic has mostly been just love and support. A lot of people who are fans of SGU or fans of Skeptic or, you know, just like my talk, or it's making my head so big. It's not healthy for me, but it's amazing. I love everybody here.
And pretty much everyone I speak to finds there's normally an SGU, the Skeptics Guide to the Universe, link somewhere along the line there. Yeah. And the show's had such a long history. Where do you see it? I don't know why it isn't on free-to-air in the US. I know you'd have to have ads and stuff in that, but why? It's the land, I think I said this to Jay, it's the land of the middlemen. People will sell anything to anyone in America. Why can't the SGU be sold as a regular radio show?
Yeah, that would take a number of things to happen. One, we would need a lot more time and business sense, I think, to have that happen. Because in order to get a show on in the States, you generally need to have it edited down to the millisecond, you know, to the clock. And right now, it's, you know, Steve spends a lot of time editing an hour and 20-something minutes, cutting it down to, I think, an hour for satellite radio. But in that case, there's no commercial breaks that need to be cut in the way it does on commercial radio in the States. And then you need to sell it in every market. And, you know, it's not easy to do. It would be something that would be great. I would love to have that happen. But right now, with all of us so busy with other things, and they have jobs and families. I don't have a job. This is my job. But I don't have an excuse. I should get on this. I know.
On your way to New Zealand, you've been moving lots of T-shirts down there. You've been having a really good time. I've been asking this of a few people here. I might have asked you, what is the one bit of paranormal, woo, ghosts, UFOs you'd like to be true? What is the one thing that you go, wow, water does have a memory? I mean, what is the kind of thing you would like to actually be real?
Unicorns. Definitely unicorns. Not the nice unicorns, but the vengeful, angry unicorns that stab you.
This is the drunken late night unicorns. Where do these exist? I've only ever seen pink ones on little girls' walls and stuff. I haven't seen these vengeful unicorns.
No, you need to get with the program. That's the true unicorn. It's an angry unicorn. It's deadly. It will stab you through the chest. Have you seen Cabin in the Woods?
No.
Ooh. I'm not going to say any more because I've already said too much, but it's one of the greatest horror films ever created. Joss Whedon, go watch it.
And of course, the big question that's been doing the rounds here in Australia, I think it's even been raised in Parliament, James Bond, bisexual or not?
Oh, totally bisexual. Totally. Yeah. Love it. Oh, and every villain he's ever fought has been homosexual.
I mean, yeah, and you as a cat person would have a thing with many of the Roger Moore and Sean Connery villains because they've got the cat going on.
That's true. I'm into them. Sometimes I'm a little more into the villain than I am into James Bond, but what can I say?
What's next for Rebecca Watson? What is next?
Ooh, you know what? Sleep. I've been traveling every weekend for the last several months at different conferences, and I am so, like, as much as fun as I'm having here and as much fun as I'm going to have in New Zealand next week, cannot wait to get home with the cats, curl up in bed with a good book, and relax for like a month before I have to go somewhere else.
Oh, and I will actually mention one last question because this interview I did with this person probably won't make the show, but I will relate it to you. We're at the meet and greet the other night, and I said, oh, who are you looking forward to meeting? And this gentleman said, oh, I'm looking forward to meeting Rebecca Watson, but she's married, so I better not go up to her. And I said, I'm sorry. And he said, she's married, so I better not go up to her. I said, I think you can talk to married women in an open space, and I don't think hitting on her is compulsory either. I have no idea where that mindset came from. Do you get that?
Yeah. It's like we're in Saudi Arabia or something.
It was very, very odd.
And that's probably a little insulting to Saudi Arabia because I think even there, maybe that's not that big of a deal.
Yeah. I couldn't work it out because it wasn't like the person was so enamored with you because they were saying it quite calmly and rationally. Right. Yeah. It was like it was going to be offensive. I don't know what it was. Yeah,
I've had people say, so you don't want to go into the whole elevator bullshit, but I've had some people say to me, like, how dare that guy hit on her? Not, they usually don't say it to me. Usually they're saying it to others. How dare that guy hit on her? Didn't he know she was married? And I'm like, you have missed the point. Like, I understand that you'd think you're on my side, but you're not. And I don't even think it's a point because I think that, you know, marriage isn't about possession and I could flirt with people if I want, you know. And so, you know, I've been separated from my husband for several years now. I have a boyfriend who I love and I live with and for the past 2.5 years.
I knew that. I just didn't want to raise this with this guy to make it even more confusing for him.
That's not even the answer, isn't that she's not married. It's that it should shouldn't matter because she's not owned by anyone, whether she's married or not. You know, you can go talk to a woman.
Wow.
Yeah, I do think it gets back to ownership, not to put too fine a point on it, but I think it's this feeling that if a woman is married, that means that her husband gets to control her behaviors and her actions, and in this case, flirting with her, or in this guy's case, even talking to her, apparently would seem suspect or
it was indeed very strange. Actually, what will be the topic of your next feminist lecture?
Well, right now I'm doing a talk on the pseudoscience of things like how women evolve to shop, things that make it into our mainstream media.
Is it just going to touch on the cosmetic industry?
No, actually, not really. I don't talk too much about the cosmetic industry. More like things that masquerade as science in the mainstream media. And so the average reader would maybe give it a bit more credibility than it actually deserves. Because when you look at the science, it's not necessarily there. A lot of these things are controlled by marketers, for instance. Particularly in the UK, this is an issue. Shopping mall, you know, commissions a study to figure out why women shop and men don't. You know?
This is what I find offensive, and I might just be overreacting here, but you see magazines and stuff, it's like women shop and it makes you feel better and you're not actually sure what you're curing in the first place. That's kind of offensive.
Yeah, well, that's what most of marketing is about. You come up with a problem, you know, invent a problem, and then sell her something to solve it. And it's starting to happen more with men as well. Men are starting to get into the crosshairs of advertisers more.
Finish with a recommendation for a website and a recommendation for a book. For me, I'm reading Bad Pharma at the moment. Finding that fascinating. Yeah. But I'm just wondering if there's a book and a website you'd like to recommend to us, because there's something you've found that maybe we haven't.
Oh, man. I usually read several books at once because I read a lot of skeptical books, and sometimes I need to put it down and go read some fiction or something.
Oh, yeah. Look, my friend Susie Q, who is Miss Naked Australia and has a couple of degrees, she has the serious book and the not serious book.
Yeah.
A bit like Calvin Klein, you just have the uppers on one side of the bed and the downers on the other side of the bed. You have the book on either side of the bed.
Yeah, that's right.
Balance it. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So right now, my fiction book is The Blind Assassin by Margaret Atwood, and I love it. It's fantastic so far. And my nonfiction book right now is called Moral Combat by Sikivu Hutchinson. And she is a prominent, amazing, intellectual black atheist woman in the U.S. And she is like a tour de force. She's angry and super smart and intimidating, and I adore her. So I'd recommend her book as well. So website... I just found a Tumblr that Twitter shames people.
Is that like humble brag?
Yeah, it's similar to humble brag. But what this person does is they find, usually it's younger dummies who are tweeting things like, people on welfare, why don't you just get a job? And then they go in their history and they find another tweet that says, need to get a job, where's mom with the pizza, things like that. And they put them together and post them. And there's a lot of really good schadenfreude.
Anderson Cooper did that with a reporter a couple of weeks ago. That they said something about, they said, oh, why don't you really report what's going on in Gaza? And he put it back to them, well, maybe if you weren't talking about fruit flans so much and paying attention to the conflict, you'd know what's going on. Mind that it's a great idea.
Yeah, I love calling out hypocrisy. So that's really enjoyable. Wait, I should think of a good serious website to recommend. This isn't serious. Can I plug my article? I just had an article. I'm now occasionally writing for Slate at slate.com. And my most recent article
is this the same one that Phil Plait's on?
Yes, actually. Yeah, they've made this sudden push for the skeptics. They've snatched up a bunch of us.
Who are they? Who's behind them?
Slate's a prominent online magazine, so they're independent, I think. But they're great. They're science editor. They've just got a new science editor, I think, and she wanted to get more skeptics on board. So Phil's whole blog is on Slate now. I'm just occasionally contributing articles. But my most most recent one is about the pseudoscience in SkyMall. I love SkyMall.
That's one of my favorite parts of the GizWiz, Leo Laporte's podcast, Crap I Bought in SkyMall, is a part of his show. You can get union suits in psychedelic colors. You can get all sorts of things there. Is there stuff that only exists in SkyMall? I mean, give us an example of one of the products you wrote about.
There's so much pseudoscience that I decided to just focus on pet things. For instance, one thing was a thunder shirt.
I wanted to do a story on this. I have only anecdotal evidence that it works. Does it?
Well, okay, so this is the most controversial thing in the whole article.
Oh, it is, yeah.
Because, yeah, there are a lot of people who say it works, works. And then there's a lot of people who say it doesn't work, both of whom have bought it and tried it. So, you know, apparently it does seem to work for some dogs and some cats even.
We'll just explain what it is. It's like a tight-fitting jacket that you put onto your dog. Do cats get into this? I'm about to say, I wouldn't think cats wouldn't have any bit of this. They'd be out of there.
Well, my anecdotal evidence, I have two cats who are very floppy and codependent and don't understand how to fight predators and things.
But they can use a TV remote.
They can, actually. One of them, Brendan, I thought it'd be funny to stick him in a shark costume. And so I put, it was made for dogs, but whatever, it was in the discount bin. So I put it on him. It was like a little hoodie with a little jaws over his head. And he immediately fell over and just laid there purring. And it didn't seem like, sometimes cats purr when they're hurt or something. But he was really happy. Like, he was rolling around and, like, he loved it. I think he can't tell the difference between good attention and bad attention. He does like being hugged. So at the time I was like, oh, maybe he likes it because it feels like a hug. And then I see the thunder shirt. And that's exactly what it claims to do for both dogs and cats. So I looked into it. And there's really no scientific evidence to suggest it works. There have been a few studies that have looked at similar things. Like, there's this hug machine. I don't know if you're familiar with Temple Grandin, but she is an autistic woman from the U.S. who is brilliant, and she works for slaughterhouses, making them better for the cattle.
Are you just making this up? Are you taking the piss at this stage? I told this Australian guy that there was this hug machine.
No. So there's this hug machine for cattle, and it's this giant machine, and it hugs them. And Temple Grandin got into the hug machine and found that she liked it a lot, and she thought that it could help autistic kids by providing, like, this constant pressure on your body. Yeah. And so now there are several centers for autistic children that use these things and claim to have good benefits. But the few scientific studies have only shown really marginal differences in the amount of stress that these supposedly cure. So they're not really conclusive. And we're talking in this case about this large machine that applies constant, even pressure, all the time, as opposed to a little jacket. But the little jacket is selling itself based on those studies on the hug machine. Like, they quote Temple Grandin on their website and stuff. So there's really no evidence to suggest it works. However, there's anecdotal evidence to suggest it works, because there are a lot of people saying it worked for my dog, or my cat. So it's kind of up in the air. Who knows if it works? You know, if you have a dog that's scared of the thunder, and you have $50 burning a hole in your pocket, then I say go ahead. Who cares? But personally, I'm going to stick with the shark costume because it cost me $5 in the discount bin and, does the same thing.
I'm just so happy that you make a living on your intelligence.
I make my living on something. I don't know if it's my intelligence. I think it's my polarization, right? That's what everybody keeps telling me.
That's worth
an attention whore for money.
It's worth a lazy 20.
I got blog money. That's right.
On maynard.com.au. Hey, you!